إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، أرحب بكم جميعا. I welcome all of you once again. Still, we're going to continue reading from al-mulakhas al-fiqhi of our noble Sheikh, al-allama al-doktor Salih al-Fawzan bin Fawzan, hafidhahu Allah wa ghafara lahu wa liwalidayhi wa lil-muslimin wa al-muslimat. Babun fi ahkami al-janais. Tonight, we're going to begin reading in this chapter. Very important chapter, أحكام الجنائز, rulings and regulations pertaining to funerals, death. This is a very important chapter because there's a lot of innovations, especially in this one. A lot of innovations, people innovate a lot. Even in this very serious time, death. So we're going to learn the sunnah as pertaining to when a person dies, because we're all going to die. At the moment when a person is very sick, while they're dying, once they die, what to do, what to say, what not to do, what not to say. At the washing, the shrouding, the burial, and the like. قال الشيخ في المقدمة حفظه الله إن شريعتنا ولله الحمد كاملة شاملة لمصالح الإنسان في حياته وبعد مماته. Says indeed our religion, this legislation, walhamdulillah, meaning Islam, is perfect, complete, comprehensive, and includes all the benefits and the good for humanity, for the human being, in their lives and even after their death. Even after death. ومن ذلك ما شرعه الله من أحكام الجنائز من حين المرض والاحتضار إلى دفن الميت في قبره. From that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has legislated from rulings and regulations pertaining to funerals. From when a person is sick until when a person is dying, facing the agony of death, and therefore death, burial and the like, and putting a person, whether it be he or she, in the grave. These are the things that Allah has legislated for us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and made clear for us what to do in this critical moment. من عيادة المريض وتلقينه وتغسيله وتكفينه, such as visiting the sick. And if the sick is very ill, then you encourage them to say La ilaha illallah. That's what is meant by talqin. And then the washing of the body, the shrouding, salati alayhi wa dafni. Likewise, the funeral prayer, performing the prayer on the deceased, burying them in the grave. وَمَا يَتْبَعُ ذَلِكَ مِنْ قَضَاءِ دُيُونِهِ وَتَنْفِيذِ وَصَايَاهِ وَتَوْزِيعِ تَرِكَتِهِ وَالْوِلَايَةِ عَلَىٰ أَوْلَادِهِ الصِّغَارِ. And even after death, after burying the person, still there is many other things that we Muslims do for others, such as paying off his debts. If a person leave a debt behind, carrying out their will. They leave a will to be carried out, distributing the inheritance that he has left behind. And if a person have left young ones, minor children, then still Islam teach us that someone, whether it be in the family of the deceased or somebody else, take care of the minor ones. قال الإمام ابن القيم رحمه الله. And then the Shaykh, he mentioned a statement for Imam ibn al-Qayyim, this great Shaykh, Shaykh al-Islam ibn al-Qayyim رحمه الله, in his great book, Zad al-Ma'ad, The Provision for the Hereafter. He says, رحمه الله, وَكَانَ هَدْيُهُ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي الْجَنَائِزِ أَكْمَلَ الْهَدِي مُخَالِفًا لِهَدِي سَائِرِ الْأُمَمِ. Says his way and his guidance, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in funerals, is the perfect way. Opposing the way of all of the previous nations. مُشْتَمِلًا عَلَى إِقَامَةِ الْعُبُودِيَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى عَلَى أَكْمَلِ الْأَحْوَالِ وعلى الإحسان للميت. Because we Muslims, we are commanded to worship Allah in every moment of our lives. Some people forget about this because of their ignorance. When somebody died, whether his father he loved so much, or his mother, or his wife, or her husband, or their baby, or their young daughter or young man, that they love so much. Some people, out of ignorance, they stop worshiping Allah because of that. They don't stop praying. And when they are commanded, okay, let's go to the masjid, they said, masjid? You think that's the last thing? That's the last thing on their mind, they said. Don't you see I'm in pain and you're telling me to go to the masjid? SubhanAllah. La, this is also in this serious moment, critical moment, we should always remember we are servants of Allah and we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all time. وعلى الإحسان للميت ومعاملته بما ينفعه في قبره ويوم معاده. نعم. The way of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم teach us, and we learn this from his guidance and from his sunnah صلى الله عليه وسلم, from his biography, his seerah, that Islam teaches us to be kind and good to the deceased. Even if a person died, deceased, we're still commanded to be kind and gentle and nice while dealing with his body. And we should become binding upon those who are dealing with the deceased, that they should do for him that which will benefit him or her in their grave and when they meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even before they die. من عيادة وتلقين وتطهير وتجهيز إلى الله تعالى على أحسن الأحوال وأفضلها. سبحان الله. The guidance of the Prophet ﷺ, his hadi, his sunnah, his way, teach us to visit the sick person. When we hear someone is sick, we visit them. We make dua for them. And if they are in a critical conditions, we encourage them to say La ilaha illallah. And then we purify the deceased once they die. It is to be washed and purified and prepared in the best way before to be put in a grave. Because they're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because alhamdulillah, we believe, and it's from our aqeedah, that once we die, we're going to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of resurrection. It's not like ignorance who do not believe in the resurrection. And they say, once a person dies, and that's it. We believe in the resurrection, in al-hashr, wal-ba'th, wal-nushur, wal-adilla kathira, the adilla are many. فيقفون صفوفا على جنازته سبحان الله يحمدون الله ويثنون عليه ويصلون على نبيه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Look, سبحان الله, it's amazing. Even when a person died, we do all these things. He is to be washed, shrouded, and in the best way, not just any way, put a bucket and keep going. Oh, subhanAllah, thoroughly, very nice. The way they are washed and the way they are shrouded in the most efficient way. And then after that, the Muslims, they stand in prayers, in ranks, to perform the funeral prayer on such a person. And while standing in that position, they praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Allah, and they send the salat on the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَيَسْأَلُونَ لِلْمَيِّتِ الْمَغْفِرَ وَالرَّحْمَ وَالتَّجَاوُزِ. And in that salat, the Muslims, they make dua for the deceased. Naam, because this is the sunnah. They make the dua for the deceased. Because the sunnah is that the imam will make takbir, and the people behind him make takbir after him. After the first takbir is the recitation of Al-Fatiha. That's where you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thank Allah and glorify Allah in the Surah Al-Fatiha. After the second takbira, is the salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And after the third takbir is the dua. You see, because there is moments of silence, so the imam is silent, but he's not silent. After the first takbir, the imam is reciting Al-Fatiha, not loud. The second takbir, we hear that the imam is silent again. No, he's not silent. He's reciting, he's saying the salat on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad to the end. And after the third takbir, even that gap or the silence is even longer. Because the imam is making dua for the deceased, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did. And we too, the people behind the imam, they make the dua. Look how this beautiful religion care about the people, care about the Muslims, the believers, even after their death. So they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive this person, to overlook their mistakes and their shortcomings. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to shower His mercy upon this person. ثم يقفون على قبره. And even when they bury that person, still before they leave, they stand right at the grave area and they make dua for him. Especially يسألون له التثبيت. At that moment when they finish the burial, before they leave, they make dua. Sunnah is that, not in jama'ah, in the loud, but everybody make dua, they face the qibla. And mainly they ask Allah to grant that person who they just buried firmness. Because they're going to be asked and questioned by the angels in their grave. ثم كذلك زيارة قبره والدعاء له. Likewise, it was legislated for us to visit the graves and to make dua for the Muslims. SubhanAllah. It's not like bury them and forget about them. No, you continue. Even they died, you make dua for them. Ask Allah to forgive them. كما يتعاهد الحي صاحبه في الدنيا ثم الإحسان إلى أهل الميت وأقاربه وغير ذلك. سير ابن القيم رحمه تعالى تنز the hadi and the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in his way, his perfect way. So this is how Islam teach us. And this is what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم did. He took good care of a dead person as we're supposed to take good care of one another when we're still alive. And also from the beauty of this religion, that it teach us to be kind and to the and to do good with the family of the deceased. The family of the deceased. Ayna. قَالَ وَغَيْرِ ذَلِكَ. So this is only amongst other aspects that highlight the beauty of this deen of Islam and the perfection of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. قال الشيخ صالح حفظه الله ويسن الإكثار من ذكر الموت والاستعداد له بالتوبة من المعاصي ورد المظالم إلى أصحابها والمبادرة بالأعمال الصالحة قبل هجوم الموت على غرة. Says it is recommended for all of us to constantly remember death. We shouldn't forget about death. We should remember death a lot. Remind one another about death. Read about it. Listen to talks and lectures about it. So that will help us to prepare for it. Because everybody will die. As a human being, we will die. No one will live forever. No one is exempt from this one. كل نفس ذائقة الموت. Every soul shall taste death. So, when we remember, we prepare for it, the Shaykh says. SubhanAllah, remember when a person have a court date, a very important court date. If they don't remember it, what happened? If they don't keep reminding themselves or somebody put notes in a fridge and I don't know where, and what will happen to them?
Or for their arrest.
They will forget. And perhaps they may not even show up, right or wrong, and make it even worse. But usually people, if they have a very important court date, what they do? I'm asking you. They prepare for it. How they prepare for it?
They were sleep at night due to tension.
They were
sleep at night due to tension.
I know, subhanAllah, the closest the date comes, some people can't even sleep. They prepare. What they're going to say? What answers there is going to be asked? What is the correct? Because you know, they're not going to accept anything. What is the proofs? Amen. And people do that. When it comes to dunya, they do that. They put that date on the fridge, on their cell phones, on their wife's cell phones, their children's. Reminders here and there. They talk about it a lot. MashaAllah. Nobody asks him question. Right after Salat, yeah man, next month I have this hearing. Nobody asks him a question. Because it's in his mind. Constantly. People said to him, Akhi, look, next Saturday we're going to go eat something. Oh, I don't know if I can eat anything right now, man. You know, his hearing is on my mind. Can't even eat. Look how serious. But people forget about death. People commit haram like they're not going to die. Not going to die. When they go and do what they're doing, disobeying Allah, neglecting the obligations, perpetrating the haram, it's like they have guaranteed that death will not happen to them at that moment. No, they're not going to die that afternoon, no. angel of death is not coming to them that evening in that house. Now they're going to do what they're going to do. It's the angel of death. No, angel of death is not coming to this house. Subhanallah. And that's from jahl. That's why knowledge put us back on the track. Some people, they be, you know, away from the track. So the Shaykh, he says, you remember death a lot because that's what's going to help you and help us to prepare for it. With what? With tawbah. That's how we prepare for that. By repenting from sins. Make it up for the people we have wronged. As related to their honor or property or wealth or the like. And hastening to do good deeds. Do righteous good deeds. Before death come upon you, you don't even know. Death doesn't send you a warning or a warrant. Death doesn't send you a warrant coming to get you next month. But death will come all of a sudden. Don't know. And don't you think that only sick people die? Only 100 people plus die, like 100 years old or plus die? Man, everybody die. A lot of people, they're very sick. They've been in the hospital for years. They're still alive. A young, strong man, just graduated. They're gone. You know, babies die in the womb of their mothers. But here is the question. Are we prepared to die? One of the Salaf, he says, If he said to one of us, are you ready to die? He says, no. Most definitely, I'm not ready to die now. Why? Because I gotta do a lot of good deeds. I gotta do good deeds. Then Allah give him time and don't do no good deeds. Subhanallah. And then Allah give many of us, alhamdulillah, we're still alive. We don't know if we're gonna make it for tomorrow or not. So we have to act immediately. And be sincere. And may Allah help us. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أكثروا من ذكر هذه من اللذات. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم says أكثروا, not just once a while, constantly increase the remembering of the one who destroys the desires. The one who destroyed the desires, or the destroyer of desires. What is that? هو الموت. هاذم اللذات. قال هو الموت. It is death. And this hadith is collected by Imam At-Tirmidhi on the authority of Abu Hurairah رضي الله عنه والنسائي وابن ماجه وابن حبان والحاكم. And Imam Al-Albani, رحمه الله تعالى, he said this hadith is Hassan Sahih in Sunan Ibn Majah. SubhanAllah, we human beings, we wrong ourselves, especially in a moment of weakness. Because of the weakness of Iman, we don't know Allah the way we should know Allah. We are weak in the Tawheed al-Asma' wa-Sifat, the Tawheed of the names and attributes of Allah. Because that's how we know Allah, through His beautiful names and attributes. That's why you find us guilty if one of us wants to disobey Allah, he hides from the people. Go and make sure 3 times that the door is double locked, the blinds are down. Nobody's in the house but him. Check all the rooms just in case somebody there. He live alone. And all of that while doing what he's doing, if the wind come and move the blind, he's like, oh, somebody come in. He's afraid. that somebody, a human being like him, will see him, but that person who could be me and you, we forget that Allah sees us. It's not like a person disrespect, have no respect for Allah, but with that strength of Iman, that will tell me and you, if I cannot do this in front of a human being just like me, why am I doing it in front of Allah? Why am I doing it in front of the one who created me and fashioned me and nice to me? And yet you find us, a human being, try to act nice in front of those who are taking care of us. If somebody in a family or whatever, taking care of you, mashallah, buying you good things and giving you money, helping you big time in your life, and you want to act in front of them in the most nice way. You don't want that person to know any bad things about you, right or wrong. Around that person you act nicely, you behave good, you don't even talk. Why? Afraid that you may say something that doesn't earn his approval, and he may like, man, this guy, and he stops taking care of you. What about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who's taking care of us for real? And even the human being, if he's taking care of you, it's only because Allah wants that. So this is why we need to learn, and we need to remind one another about these things. Knowledge helps us, because we're human beings. We're wrong ourselves. Shaitan is still alive. Okay, shaitan doesn't give up. The nafs, the soul, call you to the evil, the environment. That's why when we get together, why don't we get together and talk about dunya? There's a lot of things that remind us of the dunya. We live in Ummu Dunya. We live in the mother of the dunya right here. And we still gonna talk about it? No, we remind one another. Akhi, are you ready? Oh yeah, I'm ready. Some food? Food? Now you're ready for the grave, brother, talking about food. Let's ask ourselves these questions a lot. Are you ready, akhi? Somebody may have no clue. It's like, ready for what? For death. If the angel of death comes to take your soul right now, are you ready? You think you did what you could, alhamdulillah, you have tawbah, you got everything. So some people, they like, subhanAllah, ahyaytana, as the Salaf, when they used to remind one another about death and preparing for the hereafter, they used to say, ahyaytana, you brought life back to my heart, man. Because some hearts is dead. The hearts get rusty. They need to be polished. Some hearts are dead. They need to be revived. Some hearts are like rocks. Need to be softened a little bit. Like the dough, when you're making a dough, people make no dough now. Everybody make a trip to Walmart. But ask your mother or grandmother to make a dough, or those who are still making it, while they mix in the water and what? Even now. Sugar?
Flour.
Now, at one moment, if the dough is hard, what they do?
Knead it.
Knead it. They soften it. They can work with it like that. They have to soften it. And they know what makes it soft. Whether like warm water, or they work with it with their knuckles and the like. Likewise, we need to know the condition of our hearts. What do you have? What do you carry in your chest? A dead heart, a rusty one. Do you want a rusty fork in your drawer? You open the drawer where there is the, what do you call them? Utensils? Silverware. And you find one rusty, nasty looking spoon. What do? You grab that one, right? And you use it to eat?
No.
You're like, what happened with this? At least, it raised some concerns. And likewise, ya ikhwan, sometimes we make poor decisions as related to the things we say, the things we do, And that's like at that moment, you don't need to wait until the imam maybe may not be mentioned something about that condition of Jumu'ah. No, at that moment you say, wait a minute, SubhanAllah, this is rusty. This is no good. I'm a Muslim. Shouldn't be talking like this. Shouldn't be behaving like this. What's happening to my heart? And then you polish it yourself. Wait for somebody to do it for you? No, you do it. And then you'll see what are the things that get you to that. And you will find, number one, away from the remembrance of Allah. Not remembering Allah much. That's number one. And then you're going to say, why? You ask yourself, why I'm not remembering Allah much? Then you will try to find the things that keep you away from remembering Allah. Television, bad friends, dunya, away from the good people, hanging with the bad crew. See? And if you really care about your heart, because if the heart is dead, what are you going to do with it? You can't ride a dead horse. A dead engine can't get you nowhere. See, it's dead. Well, likewise, a dead heart. Person is still alive, but can't make no good decisions. And we, at least, we'll be concerned with what's wrong with us. The same way we're concerned with our cars. Some of us, subhanAllah, he knows. Just when he cranked the key, she's wrong. He turned it off immediately. We're not going. No, I'm not going. Why? I don't want to mess with my engine. Why? What's wrong with the engine? Those who don't know, it's like, listen, man, I just hear it. Those who don't know, they're like, this guy crazy. You hear them? You listen to the engine? Yes. What happened? No, just the way sound is not right. I'm going to keep it until somebody sees it before you get what?
Worse.
People that are driving, a smoke coming out of the hood. What they do? Still driving, they don't care. Until they're stuck in the highway. No. That's why some of us, we keep doing bad, from bad thing to another bad thing, and we know. Until we're stuck in some very bad, messy situation. Amen. So, the Shaykh, Hafidhahullah Ta'ala, he says, and this is one of the fruits of remembering death, because those who are serious about death, and they know, and they believe, that they will stand in front of Allah on Yawm Al-Qiyamah, and they're not going to be coming back to this dunya to fast or to do this or to pray or to say sorry or blah. These people now, they're going to be very serious about making serious moves. Serious moves preparing for death. أولا أحكام المريض والمحتضر. Sheikh is going to mention now the rulings and regulations. As you mentioned, this أحكام الجنائز. We're going to learn this chapter many rulings and regulations. Number one, أحكام المريض والمحتضر. What we're going to learn in this chapter, inshallah ta'ala. And for a while, we're going to be reading, inshallah ta'ala. Couple of pages, alhamdulillah. The rulings of a sick person. And also al-muhtadir. Al-muhtadir is the one who's is about to die. Facing the agony of death. قال إذا أصيب الإنسان بمرض فعليه أن يصبر ويحتسب ولا يجزع ويسخط لقضاء الله وقدره. First he says, he given us some advice, the Shaykh Hafidhah Allah, he says, when a person gets sick, because we're human, you get sick. Doesn't matter how big you are, muscle man, this, strong guy, you eat. Yeah, you're a human being, you can get sick. viruses are out there and bacteria and diseases. It takes a bite of a little insect. You don't even see it when he bites you. Something you eat and the like, you get sick. So what is now, as a Muslims, when we get sick? Because, subhanAllah, sometimes people, they go to a regular checkup, right, with the doctors, and then they do some, the doctor says, look, man, we need to do some blood work and blood tests. They do blood tests, and then said, can I talk to you one-on-one, you see? And then it's like, look, man, we have to do some more tests. Is this something wrong, doctor? I don't want to say anything right now, but you know, there's just some more blood work, and we will talk then. They do some more blood work, then it's like, yes, what I thought it be is, yes, you have this, you have that, you have this. The real serious illness. So what a person do at this moment? Muslims, alhamdulillah. Especially if you if you've been afflicted after 30 years of good health. 30 years you're enjoying. Some people, they are born sick. Talking about, man, after... Some people after 50 years, now you got diabetic. Oh, that's it, the end of his life. Why him? He's ruined, he's doomed, that's it. SubhanAllah, they forget 50 years of good health and strength and good mind and intellect. Some people are born with illnesses. See? I said, alhamdulillah. If I cannot see now, I've been seeing for 50 years. Alhamdulillah, this is good for me. Because if a person go mad, and is he going to change something? He ain't going to change anything. Relax. It's going to take away the reward for those who are patient. He's gone. And it's going to make it worse for him or her. Say alhamdulillah. The Sheikh, he says, show patience and seek the reward. Yahtasib. Seek the reward, because Allah, SubhanAllah, this is another chapter itself. If we want to open, I don't even want to open the window, because I may just start talking about something else. But I share with you one hadith in Riyad al-Salihin in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet ﷺ says, "Man yuridi Allahu bihi khairan, you will save minhu ahsant." See, I'm talking about this, not the faqih of din. See, you will save minhu. If Allah wants good for a person, He put that person to trials, and person be sick. Yes, Allah wants good for you, Ya Abdullah, when you get sick. So you get mad? Allah wants good for you. When you get sick, because it's purification of your sins. On account to your patient. Don't say, why me? Oh Allah. Never, Ya Akhwan. لا تجزع ولا تسخط. But rather you submit to the qadar of Allah. You accept, because Allah is al-adl, the just. Allah is al-Rahman, al-Rahim. He wants good for us. وَلَا بَأْسَ أَنْ يُخْبِرَ النَّاسَ بِعِلَّتِهِ وَنَوْعِ مَرَضِهِ مَعَ الرِّضَى بِقَضَاءِ اللَّهِ وَالشَّكْوَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَطَلَ. He said, it's okay. It's okay to mention what's wrong with you to other people, as long, you know, what's wrong with you, for example, as long as you are pleased with the qadar of Allah. Not complaining. And you turn to Allah. You ask Allah. You don't ask the people. Don't complain to the people. Oh, I'm sick, man. This. No. You complain to someone just like you. What are they going to do? Nothing. So those people who constantly talk to others about, he's this, he's that, they're complaining against Allah. Because Allah is the one who afflicted them and put them in that position. And one of the Salaf, he saw a person complaining. He doesn't have anything to another person. He's this, he's broke, he's going through hardship. And he said to him, Ya Hada, Atashku man yarhamuk ila man la yarhamuk? SubhanAllah. Look at the fiqh of the Salaf. He said to him, you're complaining against the one who is merciful to you, to one who show you no mercy? To the one who will show you no mercy? At this moment you be patient. Subhanallah, from the Salaf is amazing. Sometimes when you read the biography of our noble Salaf predecessors, you will find that a man for 40 years been sick, nobody knowing his family. Nobody knew that he was sick, he deals with it. Nobody. No complaining. Some people, as soon as they get sick, everybody knows, text message. I couldn't come, I'm sick. Just in case if you call me, I'm not going to answer the phone, brothers. Send it to 5,000, I don't know. If just in case you want to call me, I can't answer the phone right now. I'm in the bed, sick, very sick. Make dua for your brother. Wahid. One of the Salaf, he says, for 40 years he cannot see with one eye. Nobody from his family know about that. Nobody. For 40 years. Nobody know that he couldn't see. Ya subhanAllah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
قال الشيخ حفظه الله وطلب الشفاء منه لا ينافي الصبر بل ذلك مطلوب شرعا ومستحب. And the Shaykh after he advised us to be patient when you're afflicted with any illness. Be patient. Praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Say Alhamdulillah. Accept the qada of Allah. Say Alhamdulillah, this is good for me. InshaAllah, so you can get the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't act as ignorant. They forget the favors of Allah upon them. Why me? Why this? Why not? Why not others? And this and that. I'd rather you be patient. He says, however, seeking cure doesn't go against being patient. This doesn't mean that a person, you know, just be patient, meaning don't even go to the doctor. Or don't take medication. No. It's okay. You are patient, but you still can take medication, inshallah. No problem. Actually, rather, it is from the shara. It is from what Allah has legislated for us. It is recommended, actually, that you seek the cure. It's recommended. And the Shaykh mentioned the ayah in Surah Al-Anbiya. أيوب عليه السلام نادى ربه وقال أني مسني الضر وأنت أرحم الراحمين. And he mentioned that the prophet of Allah, Ayyub, Job, he invoked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He called upon Allah and invoked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Allah tells us in the Quran. And remember in Surah Al-Anbiya, chapter 21, verse 83, and remember Ayyub when he cried to his Lord, "Verily distress has seized me, and you are the most merciful of all those who show mercy." SubhanAllah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ فَكَشَفْنَا مَا بِهِ مِنْ دُرْ. So we answered his call and we removed the distress that was on him. So, if you're sick or your loved ones are sick, احمد الله. Say Alhamdulillah. Of course, we don't ask Allah for that. Don't ask Allah, say, "Oh Allah, bring all the diseases on me." Don't do that. Ask Allah al-afiyah. Ask Allah for health, for safety and protection. But if you're afflicted with anything or your loved ones, first thing should come in your mind, Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. You are pleased with what Allah has decreed because it is good for you. وكذلك لا بأس بالتداوي بالأدوية المباحة بل ذهب بعض العلماء إلى تأكد ذلك حتى قارب به الوجوب. شيخ حفظه الله تعالى also in this point he says it's okay to take medicine but using those medicines that are permissible, medicine that is permissible. He said, rather some of the people of knowledge, they have another opinion that it's highly recommended for you to take the medicine when you're sick. So much so that it was even closer to becoming an obligation. فَقَدْ جَاءَتِ الْأَحَادِيثِ بِإِثْبَاتِ الْأَسْبَابِ وَالْمُسَبِّبَاتِ وَالْأَمَرْ بِالتَّدَاوِي وَأَنَّهُ لَا يُنَافِي التَّوَكُّلْ كَمَا لَا يُنَافِيهِ دَفْعُ الْجُوعِ وَالْعَطَشِ بِالطَّعَامِ وَالشَّرَابِ. Says, نعم, we have many narrations in which it is mentioned that things happen and there is reason for those things to happen. When a person gets sick, there is something behind it. And also there is a cure for the diseases. And we are commanded to seek the cure. تَدَاوَوْ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ. We are commanded to seek the cure. And taking medication or going to the doctor for the cure does not oppose tawakkul. Does not oppose tawakkul on Allah. Because Allah is the one who cures. The doctor and the medicine, they are just a mean. So we take the permissible means, but we depend on Allah. We don't depend on the means. If you are cured, it's not because of the doctor cure you. The doctor himself is sick. How many times you go to a doctor, he's prescribed, he's sneezing, right or wrong? And it happened to me once. I went to the doctor, I had the flu. And the doctor, he was sick himself, has the flu too. And he's prescribing things to me. And I'm like, I see you're sick too. He says, look, man, I'm a doctor, I get sick too. I said, do you take what you gave me? He says, no. I said, what do you do? He says, soups, tea, liquids, and take it easy. I said, well, that's what I'm going to do too. Thank you. That's it. You know? And he told me, he said, if you can stay away from these pills as much as you can, that's good for you. Take them only. And he said, take care of yourself, eat good, you know. And subhanAllah, we're Muslim. Then the doctor says, stay away from stress, anxiety, and what else? Huh? Things that harm you. But we have Islam. عَلَى بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. People go, Muslims spend thousands and maybe hundreds of thousands or dozens of thousands, go to somebody sit to tell them what's wrong with them, and you know, maybe it's the position. How do you sit in a car? They're talking about anxiety. They can't even think right. They can't even sleep. They have distress. They have anxiety. And the cure is in the Quran, remembrance of Allah. If they remember Allah and do what Allah commands to do, and they read the Quran and spend quality time at the masjid, at home, whenever they are, and protect themselves from the haram, that's the cure. And it's free. So why pay? Why it is free? And you work. Because it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because Allah, He's the one who says, Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Now people, they want to take some pills. This little tiny pill, oh, is going to put you to sleep. You don't know what it's going to do to your liver and to your kidney. You don't know that. They don't tell you that. Remembrance of Allah. So he says, taking medicine and seeking cure doesn't oppose tawakkul. The same way when you're hungry and you go to eat. When you're hungry, you get some food. So a person doesn't say, look, I'm hungry, I'm tawakkul on Allah. Eat, ya akhi. No. Eat. Tawakkul on Allah. Allah will give me strength. No, just follow the means. That's what Allah tells us. Kulu wa shrabu. Allah says, eat and drink. We human beings, we cannot live without this. We get sick if we don't eat and drink. If somebody says, no, he don't eat because he has tawakkul on Allah, that's a wrong understanding. The Prophet ﷺ used to eat. Some people, they give up everything. They be eating only a little sandwich, peanut butter jelly sandwich. I know one brother used to do that until he got very sick. And people bring food, he don't eat no rice, no fruits, nothing. And he eats once a day. Ya akhi, who's your salaf in this one? You have any salaf in this one? Who? The Prophet ﷺ, Abu Bakr, Umar, who? Imam Ahmad, Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Baz, Ibn Uthaymeen, Albani, who? Nobody. Will he bring that stuff? Read it in some shady book? Oh, I don't know what happened. Sunnah. Some people, they don't want to eat meat, they don't want to eat I don't know what, they eat only one time every 3 days. And you tell them, who preceded you in this? Did the Prophet ﷺ do this? Prophet ﷺ used to fast. But he used to eat. Of course, we don't go to extravagance and that's all what matters to us is eat, eat. But we have to stay in the middle course, Ikhwan, i'tidal. And by the way, this is going to be the topic of this, the titles of this upcoming seminar, to stay to the middle course. Don't go to the right, don't go to the left, because the path is one. Is there two paths? Did Allah tell us there is three straight paths next to each other? And you can be number one or two or three? There's only one. And if you go to its right, that's destruction. You go to its left, destruction. So you want to stay on it. Stay in the middle course. وَلَا يَجُوزُ التَّدَاوِي بِمُحَرَّمٍ لِمَا فِي الصَّحِيحَيْنِ عَنِ ابْنِ مَسْعُودٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ أَنَّهُ قَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمْ يَجْعَلْ شِفَاءَكُمْ فِي مَا حَرَّمَ عَلَيْكُمْ. So it's not permissible to seek the cure with something that is haram. Not permissible for you because of the hadith. Sahih, in Sahih al-Bukhari. That Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu says, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not put your cure in that which He has made forbidden for you. وروى أبو داود وغيره عن أبي هريرة مرفوعا إن الله أنزل الداء والدواء وجعل لكل داء دواء فتداووا ولا تداووا بحرام. Also in this hadith there is collected by Imam Abu Dawood in his Sunan on the authority of Abu Huraira مرفوع, meaning that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said this. Indeed Allah has sent down the disease and the cure and has put for every disease a cure. So therefore seek the cure and do not use that which is not permissible. وفي صحيح مسلم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال في الخمر إنه ليس بدواء ولكنه داء. Also in صحيح مسلم from the حديث فوائل بن حجر رضي الله عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said about the khamr, the wine, intoxicant, it is not a cure, rather is a disease. Rather is a disease. And then the Shaykh is still, we're going to read to you inshaAllah ta'ala about the, in this point, tadawi and seeking the cure and the like inshaAllah ta'ala. We'll leave that for the next week. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.